Welcome back to the program. I was just listening back to an interview I did with Tony Canavan in October of 2023. I might try and dig some clips out of that and we can play them on the show at some point. Just really quite interesting, highlighting a lot of the issues that we're talking about now and sort of promises maybe to look at it into the future and sort of comparing, you know, where we were looking to go and where we are at now compared to just a short time ago at the end of 2023. It might make for some interesting listening. Thanks again to Deputy Charles Ward, Dr. Joe Kelly, Professor Pat O'Connor. That hour goes very quick and I feel sometimes I'm not giving everyone a shout, but we do try our hardest. Hi, Greg. Great discussion. Can you explain what will... can I just clarify something about the business plan for Letterkenny University Hospital? And I was being very honest when I said I was a little bit confused. My understanding is that there was an unofficial business plan put forward by medical professionals, but there wasn't a formal business plan submitted by Letterkenny University Hospital management, which might make sense as to why there's so much talk subsequently of an ambulatory centre. So again, I'm sorry to potentially give out wrong information, because information came into me from two sources. So yes, there was a business plan that went on behalf of Letterkenny County University Hospital, but it wasn't an official plan from the hospital management, as far as I understand, hence the confusion. Hi, Greg, great discussion. Can you explain what will happen now with this government's decision? As a HAP landlord, is the HAP cap going up? HAP has been well below market prices. What does it actually mean? Thanks. Well, to be honest with you, caller, I think there's a lot of people don't know the answer to that question, and I can't even chuck an opinion in, because firstly, it's not an area that I'm very familiar with, so I can't really, you know, I don't want to muddy the waters any further, but I can't find that type of answer to such a specific question. A caller says, people are being prevented from building on their own family land. People have such a connection to their own land. I just think it's such a disgrace. And I referenced that in the first hour. One full load of ready-mixed concrete for fans for a garden wall, 1,140. Rip off Ireland. It is indeed expensive. We got a bit of concrete delivered not so long ago, and I think it was £800 for a small enough patch. To health, the number of new patients awaiting a dermatology appointment in Sligo stands at 3,000, with over 1,100 in Letterkenny. The Sligo number has exponentially increased since Donegal GPs were instructed to refer directly to Sligo. And I believe that dermatologist under incredible pressure down there. Defective concrete, says a listener. I was speaking to a couple who got approved for demolition and rebuild for €400,000. But I was shocked to be told also that was subject to 23% VAT. So the government's winning every way. No wonder they're dragging their heels. And through that whole debate over the... is ongoing. But I could never understand why the clawback was never factored in. And I referenced it a number of times on the show. And you know, the fact that of this grant, the government claws back a quarter of it anyway. Do you know what I mean? So the grant could be far more attractive if there was a break on VAT specific to those houses. Deal done in the form of government, Marion Harkins, Donegal votes minus the South. Tip shall never be returned. Newt, that she may care, says a listener. A caller says, Irish children as young as 7 are playing Grand Theft Auto on their PlayStation's Xboxes. Actually, I think is it PlayStation exclusive and PC? And they're being allowed to naively by their parents. Now with AI being able to overrule our realities, even real informed adult ones, we need a blanket ban on social media, phones, etc. And the companies need to play their part as well as schools, government, and especially parents. No wonder rape, violence, drugs, etc. are rising. Our kids are playing these harmful games and being influenced online by their peer groups and extreme influencers. We need to be parents and say no. Are your kids playing GTA in the house? You know, it's an adult world GTA and it's a city, and there's crime, there's shooting, there's foul language, there's prostitution, there's violence towards women, violence towards men. You know, I mean, obviously parents can make a decision where their children are old enough to be exposed to that, but I do wonder if we know exactly what they're playing in their bedrooms. And GTA is as adult as it gets. I mean, you can go into a blooming strip club and then go outside and engage with a prostitute. Do you know what I mean? That's what young girls and guys are able to do on GTA. I'm not sure if you're aware of that, or maybe you are, and I'm sorry for using crude language, but you have to sort of talk about what's going on. And Grand Theft Auto, it allows you to live the life of a gangster, for that matter, you know, as bad as anyone you've ever seen portrayed in a film. And you immerse yourself into that. You build money up by robbing banks, selling drugs, prostitution, and so on and so forth. So if you don't know that about GTA, perhaps maybe you've learned it now. It's just as adult as you can get, let me put it like that. I'm waiting to hear if any of the panel will ask why hasn't Eddie H submitted a plan for the proposed hub that's been mooted for a long time. Well, there you go. We've clarified that now. And I can't believe I've got to this stage of the conversation and only clarified that in my own mind. So it was an informal business plan from Letterkenny, no official one from management. That's what I've been told by people in the know. Hello, Greg. The simple reality about this health hospital issue is that our government's expecting there to be an United Ireland in the not too distant future. When this happens, Derry will become the surgical hub for the Northwest, shared with Sligo, and not have two hubs as close as Letterkenny and Derry. I mean, whatever that, if that is the plan, you know, it's still a generation or two away. So I'm not saying you're wrong, but a caller said Fine Gael said they were going to privatise the health service and are trying to drive us to Ofidia and Ballykelly. I'm not sure about that being their policy, but that's what a listener believes. If I was in Australia for 15 years and came back, we'd still be listening to the same issues. It's constant talk about solutions, but no real solutions. And the only people to blame are the politicians who repeatedly failed to deliver. But I know this is not your point, but the same conversations are now having in Australia. Awful pressure on the housing market, house prices through the roof, deprivation, homelessness, high level of homelessness, and a growing disquiet about immigration into the country as well. These conversations are not just happening here, they're happening around the world. A caller says, Paul Murphy's en route to Cairo Airport for a global march to Gaza. Does Ireland not have enough issues for him to work on? Well, Paul Murphy can do what he wants, to be honest with you. I don't pay much heed to what he's at. What's the panel's thoughts on what's happening in Ballymena at the moment? We are Irish Catholics, can relate all too well to it, considering it used to be us they were attacking. I don't know the ins and outs of it. We'll have a fair knowledge of it. I don't know how much of it's motivated by the core issue, how much of it is hangers-on with a good excuse to chuck stuff at the police. I don't know what the breakdown is. I think any community, and I mean, when I say community, I mean the broader community, not elements of that community, that goes in off the back of a post from a politician, if you believe. A politician posted that people that were being burnt out of their houses were in a leisure centre. Crazy. He posted where they were. What happened next? Well, they went in and burnt it down, didn't they? Imagine burning down your own leisure centre. So, I mean, is there any logic to that? As a teacher in a secondary school, I think the pouches were a start, not a daft idea, as your professor guest just said. There's a huge problem with teenagers on phones, and I see it every day, unlike the deputy and lecturer there in front of you, Greg. I'd have spent 20 million to get them off their phones during class because destroying their education, engagement and social interactions. Slinging mud at people trying to come up with some sort of a solution, like the lecturer did there, is typical of the response schools get from difficult students and parents when trying to deal with the mobile phone crisis. I'd love an all-out ban, but I doubt parents will accept this. They need to back the schools and not be indulging their children. That comes in from Barry. Barry, thanks for that. I really do appreciate interjections like that, where it's a different point of view and a very well thought out point of view, and a point of view that's maybe me making me think a little as well. And that's what we want. We don't want hive mind here. We want all different types of views. Really, really appreciate it. Right, so it's Father's Day on Sunday, and Father's Day and Mother's Day roll around, and for people like me, I've lost both my mum and dad. I don't find them too uncomfortable too. I loved my mum and dad. I had a fantastic relationship with both of them. No regrets, and I wish they were here, but I understand that they're not. And Father's Day or Mother's Day, it evokes happy memories for me. But for some people out there, especially those of you who lost your mum or dad recently, and even those that lost them 20 or 30 years ago, these events, I know they're tough. But that being said, we do mark them and we celebrate them. And now I'm a dad, of course, myself, and my children might want to, I don't know what they might do. Well, probably nothing, but that's fine. I don't really mind. But anyway, to celebrate Father's Day, we've got a quiz this morning. We're going to make it really easy, but we've got a number of prizes. We've got a €50 voucher for McGurk's Golf in Letterkenny, €50 voucher for O'Donnell's Fuel, Crawley and Illustrin, a €50 voucher for Century Complex Letterkenny, and a €50 voucher for Callaghan's Electrical Letterkenny and Burt. It's got everything a man loves, or most men like. Things with plugs on. Petrol and diesel for our strimmers that we can't start. Maybe golf. And, of course, Century Complex to get out, have a pint and watch a film or have something to eat, whatever you want to do. Maybe play virtual darts. So if you want, how are we doing that, Caroline? Because you haven't told me the mechanics of this. Just give us a ring, leave, text us in if you want to enter. Right, so if you want to, we're going to bring you on air, just ask you a simple question. If you want to be within a chance, in with a chance to win one of those four vouchers, just text your interest now. Text Father's Day to 086 60 25,000, your name and where you're from. So Father's Day, 086 60 25,000, your name and where you're from, and we'll randomly pick four of you to come on, or five or six, dependent on how it goes a little later on in the show. So if you want to win a €50 voucher for McGurk's Golf, or €50 for O'Donnell Fuels, Crawley and Illustrin, €50 for Century Complex Letterkenny, or €50 for Callaghan's Urenix, Letterkenny and Burt, for the family, for the man in your life, well, get in touch with us now. Text Father's Day to 086 60 25,000, include your name and where you're from, and maybe your name will be drawn out of the hat and you can come on and answer a very simple little question. We're going to keep it really simple. We really need to come up with different things. We're going to play a song, right? That's what we always do. We just play a song. Right, so Donegal Travellers Project, in partnership with Donegal County Council's Peace Plus Partnership, has officially launched a new cross-community initiative under the theme Celebrating Cultural Diversity. In studio with me, we have, well, we welcome back into studio Anna Scully, who's Community Development Worker with Donegal Travellers Project. Hi, Anna.
Hiya.
Thanks so much for calling up to us. And Hugh Friel, who's with the Donegal Travellers Project. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Greg.
Thanks so much for joining us. Okay, so how are we going to be celebrating cultural diversity? And is it maybe a little bit more important now? It's been ever important, but maybe a little bit more important now, Anna, than it has been.
Absolutely. I think, you know, not just given recent events in the past week, but I suppose in recent months, I suppose it's coming at such a timely, you know, it's a very timely project, and it's needed now more than ever. You know, it's diversity in decision making, so it's promoting, you know, increasing information and training in areas of interculturalism, intercultural communities, anti-racism, anti-discrimination, and building leadership within ethnic minority communities, black minority ethnic communities, including traveller and Roma communities, and building leadership within those communities in terms of delivering in this training and participating in those decision making spaces. And I just think it can't come at a better time.
And can it be achieved? You know, we're seeing a pushback on DEI, for example, you know, diversity and whatever, DEI, inclusion and what have you. And also, too, obviously, at the moment, we're seeing an awful lot of, you know, racially motivated stuff happening. So, you know, is this a tide that can be pushed back, or are we changing our attitudes more broadly as a society and maybe not as open to this as we might have been even in this day last year?
No, I think it's, you know, it's possibly very easy to think that and become disillusioned and think, you know, the task is too hard to undertake. But, you know, we wouldn't be doing it if we didn't believe that it was possible. And we do believe, you know, this is a Peace Plus project. It's funded by the Special EU Programmes Body and delivered through the Peace Plus Partnership and Donegal County Council. So, you know, it is a county-wide, cross-border, cross-community project. And I think, you know, The whole ethos, I suppose, of Peace Plus has been to address sectarianism and promote that cross-border element. And the beauty of this is that it also, you know, this project incorporates anti-racism and anti-discrimination into that. And I suppose communities that we're seeing now at the moment affected by, be it the rioting in Ballymena, be the, you know, the rise of the far right, I think those communities have experienced extreme hardship. You know, we're absolutely condemning the violence. But it can, you know, I think we need to use the word and in our vocabulary a lot more. Mm. We can condemn the violence, but also understand where it comes from. And it comes from a place of huge inequality, huge hurt that these communities have been neglected for generations. And I think, you know, the ambition of this project, while absolutely it's a huge ask, the ambition is to bring communities together, to hear people's hurt and build from that. You know, where do we go? Understanding the why, and then, well, how do we go? How do we build a pathway from this? And I think, you know, we have to stop pointing the finger at each other. You know, as I think the civil rights activist from Derry, Eamon McCann, always says, you know, punch up, not down. You know, work together rather than fighting and creating more division.
Well, that's it. And Hugh, I'll come to you, and I'll come back to you in a moment, Anna. You see, a lot of the problems, I think a lot of the problems that we have is, firstly, that people feel society isn't equal. Now, that could be minorities that feel it's not equal, but I think more so there are those in the broader community that think things aren't equal. You know what I mean? Hearing cases of elder people with cancer being thrown out of their homes, you know, and they're going, well, why is that happening to me when there's a hotel within 5 kilometres of me where people are being housed for free? I'm not getting into that conversation. No, I'm not judging. But my point being is, as you see, that stirs an emotion. Added to that, we don't mix enough. We don't integrate enough. We don't understand each other enough. We are in echo chambers, you know, and there's great, and until such time as everyone feels that society is equal and we actually start to learn and know and understand each other, I just think that's the pathway. And I know this is part of that, right? But that's what it's going to take.
Yeah, and I think that, Greg, like, if you look at Donegal Travellers Project, we've always been steeped and embedded in the peace programme. And we believe in equality, we believe in diversity, we believe in making things better for all communities. And supporting the black and ethnic minority groups and travellers and Roma, and being from the traveller community, I see the inequalities every day that happens in relation to ethnic minority groups. And solidarity and being whole as one to tackle the inequalities that's happening. And this Peace Plus gives us that platform that we've already built on. I think it's not a new initiative, you know what I mean, in terms of where we've come from and what we've achieved over the last 20 years. And, you know, I concur that, you know, people look and see and hear what they want to hear and see. As you said, somebody's been thrown out of their house, somebody in an iPass centre, they're better accommodation. People should go and live. Like, a novelty to stay in a hotel for a day or two, but would you live in a room for 6 to 8 months?
But if you've nowhere to live and you feel the state is letting you down, you would move into a room with your husband and you would take the 3 meals a day. I understand where you're coming from, Hugh, but I can't sit here on my hands.
The people I speak to would take that.
And they're not getting that. But that sounds like I'm trying to drive a wedge, but I'm not, because, you know, the anger shouldn't then be against. From people in IPAS centres to the people I'm talking of, or vice versa, right? The anger should be at, well, why does society feel unequal? But we're turning on each other. And if I were the decision maker, I'm sitting back going, you know, this is working out quite well for me. Because there's infighting here and they're not talking about me.
That, like, divide and conquer has always been the kind of the agenda, the political agenda. And to keep minorities as the blame game suits the political field. You know, travellers, BMEs and Roma are explicitly blamed for the society's issues in terms of the hospitals overcrowding, the homeless accommodation, the various things that people want to look at and say, oh, this is because Ukrainians are in the country, our hospitals is not working. Our hospitals wasn't working anyway. You know, our GP systems wasn't working anyway. We always had issues in relation to inequalities in terms of cancer care and different various bodies throughout this county. We've always kind of been the neglected county when it comes to services.
But the counterpoint would be, Hugh, is if that's the case, fix the problems and then, you know, be accommodating to people who need that accommodation, not exacerbate the problems with another failed policy. Yeah, Anna, did you want to come in there?
Yeah, I think, you know, I absolutely understand people's anger and frustration. You know, we do, we understand that. And it's, you know, that term justifiable anger. There is justifiable anger and we need to listen to that. But I think the government do, as Hugh said, you know, it suits them, it suits the establishment to sit back and allow people to point the finger at each other when the reality is that, you know, be it the communities that came in under EU funding, that was money that the government got from the EU for that specific housing for
Didn't come out of general taxation.
Mm. And I think, you know, we live under this illusion, and I think people are starting to come to that realisation, you know, across, you know, political affiliations. You know, the majority of people understand that, you know, there is money in this country, but the government that has been in place for the last 100 years has, you know, generation after generation decided to put that money into, you know, foreign direct investment, landlordism. And I think it's great that people are seeing that and calling that out, but we need to work together
I fully agree. But for instance, we really want to work hard to understand each other, to respect each other, okay? But how do you counteract when you could have, you know, 20 crimes that are committed by, you know, white Irish men, for an example, use that, and one crime committed by a person of colour, and then that's sort of everyone goes up in arms, there can be riots and protests. You get where I'm coming from? So I think until we sort of drill into where we're at now, it's going to make the brilliant work you're trying to do more difficult. And it's sort of...
Yeah,
I mean, societally, we have to think about this ourselves. I think
you know, when you look at the you know, the systemic racism that goes on in Ireland, and we talk about, you know, the protests now and the anti kind of iPad centres protests, and they're not enough servers here. This building doesn't suit. We're not, you know, all this kind of prompting, and there's concerns and genuine concerns, and people should be consulted. We're not saying that, but that happened in my community in the 70s, and the 60s, the 80s in Dublin. You know, I was watching a program.
The 90s and noughties. Donegal,
you know, yeah.
Being chased out of places.
Yeah. I watched protest people in housing estates in Dublin who had battens, who had nails full of, to stop travellers moving into the state, you know, pulling in their caravans. So it's not a new thing for Irish to be...
The travelling community is 1% of the population, less than 1% about it. But things, that it seems, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Hugh, are things not... better now that in terms of the relationship between the traveller and settled community than they were in the 80s?
I think there's a lot more, I suppose, in terms of the relationship is a bit better because there's a lot more advocates like myself from the traveller community who can represent and articulate.
And now we're getting to where I was going with this.
Because we get to understand
you more.
Understand
there's
more.
There's better integration.
Yeah.
There's more respect for each other's cultures.
But there's still, Craig, there's still racism, very blatant racism
there is,
out
of
there
course,
against travellers.
But my point is I think the way things have improved is a better understanding, better respect of the travelling community, for the settled community, for the travelling community. And my point is, I think whilst it's not perfect, right, and there's an awful long way to go, this is how we're going to have to approach things moving forward.
Oh, of course. And I think this project is, do you know what I mean? As I said, we've been doing this for the last over 20 years in relation to building the, kind of the interculturalism, diversity and equality training in relation to it, and the public sector in relation to, you know, making people understand the different norms and cultures and background from people from different countries, BMEs and travellers and Roma. And I think that kind of collaboration and understanding of our people coming from might embed a better a dialogue of understanding when you're talking to your family members. And I always say, like, if you want to talk about equality, you want to talk about what's happening, start with yourself first, because that's the first place you have
but
to start.
I think,
you know,
one simple thing that I think would be very, very helpful is if people who came here from different cultural backgrounds, if the public felt that there was some sort of a training as to the social norms here, you know, in terms of just general interactions and what have you. I think if there was a program whereby the wider public understood that there was, you know, classes whereby, you know, think different countries are different and people behave different way. You know, like, say, if I go to Dubai, right, I know... The way Dubai is set out, and if I want to be there, I have to respect it, right? And I think, and I hope this is not controversial, but I actually really think a great step forward here is if the general public understood that maybe people coming here from whatever background they might have, that there was classes on, the cultural norms in this country and how we behave and interact and things like that there. As I say, I don't know if that's controversial or not, but I just read.
It's not ruled out.
It's just like I go into other countries and I familiarise myself with, you know, what's acceptable. If you're a woman going into Dubai, right, you know that you have to dress more discreetly, for an example. Do you know what I'm on about?
And
even the way this country is now, I feel like I'm being almost a little bit racist in saying what I'm saying, but I'm trying to come up with
I think it's a partnership approach, Craig, in relation to, you know, us learning from them and them learning from us, and the more of me working, you know, as the Roma Health Coordinator.
But my proposal would make it feel like the balance is
But I'm saying working with the Roma community in terms of me being a member of the traveller community, like, it's been an eye-opener in relation to the culture, in terms of the norms. There's similarities in relation that, but there's so much beauty within that as well.
Of course there is, and it's a wonderful, you know, culture, and we've a lot to learn. But are the Roma community being educated about the social norms in Ireland?
I feel like we need to be very careful. I understand where you're coming from, but I think we need to be very careful. Of course, you know, when we go to different countries and different, like, where there's different cultures, you know, we adapt and we're conscious of that. I think we need to be very careful how we do that. You know, one of the ambitions of this project is, you know, to not just deliver the 15 hours of training to 265 people.
Can I just say, by the way, I'm going to dig really deep into this, but I'm not cutting across you, Anna, and maybe this different guests would we could have this conversation, but what we're doing now is not working. And I think we need to maybe look at all.
Well, I just think to finish that point that I was making is that, you know, we need to be very careful how we do that. I think there's a very fine line between understanding each other's cultures and customs, and being, you know, cognizant of that, and also then crossing that line into imposing our culture on them and imposing, you know, an expectation that people will, you know, assimilate into.
No, I think that's the ambition.
That's not the point.
Here it is. I'll not be delicate. I'll tell you exactly what I'm talking about. How you engage with women. Do you know what I mean? In different societies, there's different ways of doing it. Women have different class statuses in different class societies. So I'm just going to be honest, right? Because I was trying to pussyfoot around it, but there's one example. I'm not saying people should assimilate and become Catholics. I'm just saying that we need the stuff. I believe there could be programs, educational programs or whatever, that everyone could learn more about each other and we could interact in a more constructive way.
Yeah, and
I'm sorry if I've said something that upsets you.
I hear what you're saying, but I think, you know, I suppose, when we talk about culture, we talk about community, we talk about religion. There's huge diversity as well within cultures and within communities.
No more than
our own culture, I think.
But I don't go out as much as I did in the past, but socialised an awful lot with members of the travelling community because we shared the same pub, right? And I learned so much from them, and they learned so much from me.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I've learned more from they than they've.
That's absolutely what I
didn't all of a sudden want them to come and live in the house next door to me if they happen to live a different way. But
that's what I'm saying. I'm agreeing with you that the beauty of these events, you know, these community events, will be the opportunity to create spaces for people to come together from both minority and majority populations and have those conversations. Absolutely.
So, and like, also too,
we're on the same page. Exactly. Coming at it a different way.
We'll talk more about the program itself, because also, too, there's different opinions within all of the communities, right? And not everybody's scared, not everybody's angry, not everybody, you know. So talk to me about what's going to be happening over the next wee while as part of this initiative. Anna or Hugh?
I think, there's going to be a number of, there's over 10 training initiatives and 300 and something people have the register for...
So a minimum of 265 people for 15 hours.
So I think, you know, your point, Craig, around that in relation to interaction with the public sector duty sector and all that, and that interaction, then that's fine. But, and the programme will do that. And the wider contents of it, we have to look at the bigger contents in terms of the community, right? So it's good for the HSE, it's good for the Donegal County Council, it's good for other agencies and staff to come in to get the cultural diversity training and awareness and interact in terms of the different cultures, norms and perspectives, and have that safe kind of environment, space to dialogue around, you know, what's happening between, you know, different countries, da-di-da-di-da. I think our job as well is in relation to, you know, the wider communities, you said, how do we reach out in relation to the wider community who's not interacting, who's not looking to, I suppose, be to the cultural perspective and how can we create a better a county in relation to diversity and to cultural. And I think that's the process that we, with the intercultural platform, that we're trying to establish and do on a daily basis. And it's a difficult space. There's no putting any tape over it. It's a real difficult space at this difficult moment. And I think it's a new era in society where, you know, this type of kind of racist behaviour is acceptable in some contents. And if you look at it like off the media profiles of some of the TikTok, the Instagrams, the institutes of that, of running after somebody who's of a black person and saying there's a paedophile and the person can't even defend themselves or speak or maybe did nothing to instigate, you know, that kind of thing. That's the kind of, you know, stuff that needs to be talked about, the right accurate data in relation to what's happening. And I think like we've gone a very down a portal in terms of believing everything we hear and see on social media. You know, no, a lot of people wouldn't realise AI and stuff and what people's doing or how they conduct themselves.
Some people's, it's their lived experience, though, Hugh. I'm not denying
that.
I know there are those in social media that monetize it. That's their job.
No, 100%. I'm not taking away from the genuine, you know, things that happen and people put it up. I'm on about the instigation of racist profiling.
That's their job.
You know, that's what I'm talking about, Greg. And I think it's our perspective on doing this in terms of, you know, we want to make a better society. We want to make a more inclusive society for all. We want to, you know, ensure that people have the right health services, the right education. You know, so when we're talking about this, we're talking for an all society. We're not talking about, you know, white Irish people. That's, you know, so it's a very controversy.
And Anna, of course it is. But if you look at some of the, like, the football clubs in and around Letterkenny, or some of the men's organisations, or some of the women's groups, or what have you, you know, there's great diversity in them already. You know, people are, you know what I mean?
That's great to see.
You know, like, that's the profile. It's people of all, and what you hear is, and we had some guys up here from a football club, and there was a couple of Brazilian lads or Argentinian lads, so and all that, and they get on like a house on fire. They love it and love learning about each other. It's a case, I suppose, of fostering that, isn't it?
Absolutely, and building on that.
Yeah.
And I suppose, you know, this is a diversity and decision making project, so it's, you know, the ambition is to bring what's already established in communities and build that into those decision making spaces. You know, because I think absolutely there's huge representation and huge inclusion at a community level. But maybe not so much in the decision-making structures within our county and within the country.
So how do people get involved in this? So talking just more specifically about the project itself, Anna, right? And I know Hugh referenced it, but I just want to park maybe the debate on where we're at and where this is about where we're going, okay?
Yeah.
And efforts to try and improve it, and every little helps. So just run through me again, or maybe it's you. I don't know whose responsibility this is. Just talk to me about the diversity in decision-making project. Who's involved? How's it run?
So I suppose 2 weeks ago, from the last 2 weeks, we've got two staff in place now that are leading out in the project on both our Peace Plus projects. And we're here to talk about just one, but we've got two. And they'll be leading out in that. And I suppose it's a huge undertaking, but we have full faith that they can pull it off. So over the 2 years, that will be their role in recruiting those 265 participants across the county. So they will be knocking on doors and reaching out to, you know, public agencies, institutions, third level colleges, to recruit those participants for those 15 hours over the 2 years. So, you know, it really, I think the beauty of it is that it's about leaving a legacy behind.
It's a two-year project.
But we do hope that this, you know, huge investment, which we're so grateful to have and be working with Donegal County Council on, will, you know, be there for years to come after this project finishes.
And how does the project work? What happens in these collections of people?
So the training will be designed by the two staff.
The leads,
And it will incorporate, I suppose, 15 hours that can be broken up, you know, maybe 3 5-hour sessions or two full days, whatever way that will look like. But it will incorporate, I suppose, interculturalism, anti-racism, diversity, building intercultural
communities. And the idea being that those people
build
go
relationships.
Out. And it's sort of...
Yeah,
it's,
I suppose,
like,
the idea, as an example, I suppose, you know, if it was students, you know, maybe in, be it nursing or social care or whatever that might be, that, you know, those people then are fully trained in this area, and then when they go out into their workplaces, you know, that feeds out then into those workplaces and into those communities where they're working and living and building that. You know, we all learn from our different work and the different people that we work with. And I suppose
it's one of those things. I mean, maybe it's easy, but it might be hard. It's not necessarily like there's a key KPI at the end of it that you can say this is success. It's about putting it out there organically.
Will,
I mean, down the line, I'm not. I know the money will be well tracked and spent, but I mean, just I'm on about sort of. You talked about the legacy. I'm on about sort of what impact this might have in a long time.
Well,
I suppose
a hugely important part of the delivery of the project as well is tracking that attitudinal change, qualitative aspect as well. You know, it's not just about numbers.
That'll be challenging,
in the door.
But it'll be interesting.
Yeah, it's not just about, I suppose, bums on seats and numbers in the in the door. It's about
they'll track their experiences and how they implement
when they begin, and then attitudes at the end of the 2 years. So that's a hugely important part, I suppose, as well.
Hugh?
Yeah, no, just going to say what Anna said there is it's really transformative in terms of if you get involved in it, and it's attitudinal change from the very outset that you do a survey and your attitude and behaviour, and then at the end how's that affected you, how's the course affected you. So it's around that attitudinal change that we're trying to achieve and achieve the bigger outcome of you know community change as well in relation to what's happening out there at the minute and people's thinking around you know black and ethnic minority groups and travellers and Roma, and we're trying to you know ensure that equality is really really at the heart of this in terms
and
of
do you know what it actually all of this conversation actually comes back to three words that are pretty much in the press release, and that's connection, cooperation and respect. You know, which makes society better for everyone, doesn't it? That's a nice way to live, even in your own blooming family, let alone the whole community, you know?
Yeah. And I think, you know, like it takes me back to the school there a few months ago. I was up and they're doing the Yellow Flag program. And, you know, I went into the hall and they have a student from every part of the world. In school, and I was looking at the diversity and the culture within the room, and you know it was lovely to see that you know we were there at that and the kids were all interacting with each other and they were so happy and thing, and then you go outside to the nastiness of it, of these I suppose
agitators of
racism, and them children suffer because you know people have conversations at home, parents and uncles and aunties and brothers and sisters around your BMEs and iPads and different things, and it creates that stigma, that racial motivated kind of attitude in children. Start to divide and start to, you know, and the teachers.
And Alavina was seeing 10-year-olds throwing petrol bombs in houses with children in. So you know, we seem to have crossed that.
I don't know
if there's a word for it. But,
I suppose, to go back to that pyramid of hate, you know, when we don't check those racist jokes, those discriminatory jokes, you know, be it in workplaces or in homes, and the pub, wherever it might be, that manifests and that festers. And it builds into what we're seeing in Ballymena. To I suppose one of the most violent forms of racism that you can have. Mm-hmm. And I suppose it's really disgusting to see in 2025 that's where we're at.
Well, I don't think anyone wants to see society descend to that. Anna Scully, listen, thanks so much. Anna Scully is community development worker with Donegal Travellers Project. And Hugh Friels with the... you're the Roma Health Coordinator now with the Donegal Travellers Project. Okay, brilliant stuff. Keep up the great work, Hugh and Anna. Thanks so much the conversation.
Thank you, Greg.
On Sunday, rather cloudy for a time on Sunday with a few showers spreading from the west. It'll become sunnier later in the day. Temperatures 15 to 18 degrees. And the reason I'm mentioning that is because Donegal are in action on Sunday and many of you will be travelling there. There are some concerns about... some road works that might interrupt your journey. So Oisin Kelly is going to be joining us. I suppose I'll ask him how he thinks Donegal might fare and the ramifications of the two games that are taking place at the same time on Sunday. But maybe he'll be able to give you some advice as to how best make your way safely to Roscommon. Yes, I agree with your idea about teaching these communities our social norms and acceptable behaviour towards women, for example, and I'd like to know if these communities are contributing to any of the tax take in the country. I'm not particularly happy about how the government is spending our hard-earned tax contributions on my views and services, which I expect are not considered or delivered. We are living in 2025. To be a real traveller, you are 16 and 17. Well... I don't know the background to the travelling community. I'm going to park that and do a bit of research and then read it out, because I certainly don't want to just sit here reading things that offend people. The difference in culture is a huge issue, says a listener. Many who come here do not understand our culture. I couldn't go to Dubai and walk with my gay husband up the main street because I know there would be repercussions. But men are coming here and treating women like trash as they do in Afghanistan. Why are we having to tolerate, but other communities simply, countries simply wouldn't? I'm not saying, but this is nothing that is exclusive to Ireland. And I'm not saying people should adjust their cultures. And probably I shouldn't have said what I said, but I was trying to give a real world example about things that maybe, if were happening, might help us in everybody interact better. Because cultural diversity works when everyone mixes together and understands each other. That's, I think, not a controversial point of view. And if you just have different groups of people living in the same area but not interacting, I don't think that works very well, but I could be wrong. Hugh, for God's sake, listen to yourself. Yes, our hospitals were overcrowded before people started to come, but by taking more people into Ireland, that what does this do? It puts more pressure on the hospitals, and then they give these people free everything, even an engine for their car. That's an isolated incident, but I understand what you're on about. Fix things at home first before we take thousands into this country. Another, tell your guests that the ethnic and Roma communities are very well treated in Ireland and maybe better than the Irish that are in dire need. Services are at breaking point with all this immigration. Another, does anyone know how to go about getting full skips removed from outside houses in a housing estate? We're afraid they could draw rats, etc. They have been there for months now. So have they been provided by the local authority? Give the council a ring. Or maybe, I don't know what's going on there. If you have an idea as to what's going on, let us know and we can go to the right people to get an answer. There's an oil spill on the dual carriageway coming into Letterkenny. Drive with care. A lot of cars sliding over it. Okay, be really careful. Oil spill on the dual carriageway coming into Letterkenny. Take care. Hopefully it'll be out and sanded soon.